I'm sorry. Here we are in lesson number 11, chapter number 16. Last week, as you know, this chapter is probably one of the most difficult chapters to teach in the entire Bible. Song of Solomon is easier than this one, believe me. And what the Lord has done, just to recapture what happened in the very first part of this chapter, the first half, is the Lord has accused, and rightfully accused, the capital of the southern kingdom, that is the city of Jerusalem, as being the leader of the southern kingdom. Of all the other cities that are still in the southern kingdom, this capital city of Jerusalem has led through its leadership all the other towns, especially and within the city itself, to do incredible sinful things. In fact, today, in today's lesson, we're going to find out that the sin that has occurred in the last 35 years in the city of Jerusalem alone is worse than the sins that occurred in Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom, which was a sin of idolatry, and worse than that of the city of Sodom, which was a sin of homosexuality, of which the Lord destroyed both cities for both of those sins, and Jerusalem is practicing both and worse than both of them put together. That has really occurred in the last 35 years. 5 years from this point in the story, Nebuchadnezzar will roll in with all of his forces and will destroy the city and burn it. We'll learn about that today. Now, the way the Lord is talking about this, he's talking about Jerusalem, who he has selected to be his city, to be married to that city and the people of that city, because Jerusalem is the capital of the Israel, nation of Israel. He selected the nation of Israel. Jerusalem's its capital, its hub, its leadership. And he's married to it, and they are married. The Israelites are the elect of God. He has chosen them as the nation above all other nations. And he's doing an allegory here where he's comparing the city of Jerusalem to an unfaithful wife who has become a harlot or a prostitute. That's what he's doing. And he has just gone through everything, what she's done, how she's done it. He's provided for her. He's the husband that's provided everything. And she goes out and spends it on strange men. She doesn't even act like a harlot in that, even though she's having these terrible relationships with other men, they're not paying her, because that's what a harlot does. A harlot gets paid for what she does. No, she is the harlot's paying the suitors, the men, to come be with her. Now, the picture is not really of a woman and a man, or different men. The picture that the Lord is making here is that Jerusalem is flirting and having relationships with the nation of Egypt, with the nation of Assyria, and all those cities, with the merchants, the businessmen of Chaldea, which is the businessmen of Babylon. The Babylon are the Chaldean-speaking people. Jerusalem is looking everywhere to have a relationship except for the place where the relationship is supposed to be. The relationship is supposed to be with the husband, with the Lord God. And Israel, the nation, the capital of Jerusalem, is just spending way, way too much effort in having a illicit affair with all the other countries of the world except for going to the Lord where they need to go. Now, we've gone down through chapter 16, verse 34, and as we come to verse 35, God is picking up here and telling us that he is going to discipline the city of Jerusalem, and there are reasons why he is going to discipline them. And the first reason why is because the city of Jerusalem is guilty of embracing other lovers. Instead of loving the husband or loving God, they're loving other countries and other nations. He says, "Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your lewdness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries with your lovers. And I'm going to stop right there before I finish the sentence because I want to pick up with this embracing thing and I want to define some words. We learned last week, you've also got it in your notes again, that the word lewd or lewdness means a plan. That's what the Hebrew means. And it always is used in a negative connotation, which means you've got a negative plan going on. It is a lewd negative plan. I know we have a different definition for the word, but we've got to get the definition that the Hebrew word means. It means a negative plan. You have a negative plan. The word nakedness there that we have there, we found out last week, that word in Hebrew means evil deeds. So if you've got a lewd nakedness, you've got a plan, a negative plan that is for evil deeds. He says the problem that happens is here is this. Because of the plan that you have, the plan that you have is full of evil deeds. That is one of the reasons why the Lord is going to punish the city of the southern kingdom called Jerusalem. Because in this plan, this city has poured out her evil deeds to all of those lovers who are around. Now, so we've got that. She's embracing the lover. She's pouring out her evil deeds. And the second reason is because she's worshiping idols. To finish that sentence, it goes on, says this, and with all your detestable idols. You see that picture? I put it there on purpose. The picture has a purpose of her, the prostitute, and idols are sitting behind her. Idols, images that do not represent any true thing. Now listen, God is a jealous God. If God had wanted there to be other gods for you to worship, He would have created them. But He did not create other gods. In fact, His words are this, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," or "Thou shalt not have any other idols before me." Now, all of us have an idol in our life, folks. All of us. Every one of you. And I don't raise your hand, okay? Every one of you has a sin that consumes your life. You have something in your life that is an idol to you. So I don't have any idols. I don't have any other gods. No, no, no. Yes, your sin is your idol. You lust after it. Instead of lusting after the Lord, you lust after your sin. You reach out and grab it and you take it in. If I say to you, whenever you have that temptation to lust after your sin, if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding, not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He would direct your path, will you not reach out and grasp that sin that you are longing for at the moment? And if y'all say to me, "I don't sin," well, John answers that. Whoever says they've not sinned is a liar, because you have. You've lied. We all have something that we reach out for and we grab, and it's our sin. They're not the same for everyone in here. It's all different, folks. All different. Almost probably as many different sins as there are different people just in this room right here among us. Every one of us has something that's a little different, something we reach out for. One of her sins is she's reaching out for a detestable idol. Now, we've already seen this word detestable before, and I wish that our English translators would have used the same word. The word is abomination. You have worshipped with all your abominable idols. And the word idols is something that you put before God. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That means you carve something out, you stick it up there, and you worship it as a god. Jerusalem has begun doing that worse than the capital of this northern kingdom and all the northern kingdom. And in these last 35 years, and it's just gone terrible. And the Lord says, I'm going to punish you because of that. He also says, I'm going to punish you because you're killing your sons. He says, and because of the blood of your sons, which you gave to idols. In other words, you've got this lewd plan of evil deeds of which you come on the eighth day for circumcision and offer a male child to the Lord, or on the 33rd day the wife, the mother, comes and offers herself as for a purification and a dedication of the baby, the boy baby, for the Lord, or on the 66th day for the wife, for the mother, and for a female child for the Lord, and you offer that up to give it to God, which is what the Hebrews would do. They would give these babies to God and say they belong to you in a dedication process. And then later on down, they would offer them up as a burnt offering or a sacrifice to their other idol, their other god. And God's had enough of it, and He's tired of it. He's sick of it. These same children that have been dedicated to Him are now being offered to be burnt into the belly of this idol Molech or Chemosh, if you want to call it. So we have to say then, well, how is God going to do that? Well, here's the way. He's going to do it by exposing the truth. He says, therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even all those whom you loved and all those whom you hated. So I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them, that they may see all your nakedness. And remember, if we saw the word naked and nakedness last week, and we understood that the naked means that you didn't have anything until I gave it to you, and the word nakedness means now you're giving it away. You're giving away to people that doesn't even belong to you. You're exposed. You don't have God any longer. He says, look, I'm going to expose the truth. And the truth is this, that this city is putting herself up to look like she's got it all together. And yet inside, this city is decaying and dying, crumbling, full of decay, full of rot. He's going to expose the truth about this nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to say, the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to gather all of those who you have had a relationship. That will be Egypt. That will be Syria. That will be Babylon. That will be Aram, or what we call as a Turkey up above. From all around and all below, they're all under the control of Nebuchadnezzar except for the southern kingdom. He already is their Pharaoh in Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar has already conquered it. He's got it. And so he's going to gather an army from all the nations around. He's going to surround the capital city, and they're all going to know that that city is decaying inside. And he's going to send them through the north gate. The north gate is the gate that they're going to be able to bust through on Av the ninth of 586 B.C. Av is a month on the Hebrew calendar. The ninth day, they will bust through the gate and they will go in and they will destroy the city. He goes on to say this, thus I will judge you like women who commit adultery and or shed blood are judged. I will bring on you the blood of your wrath and jealousy. You'll notice there, that is a picture that I have there and chosen because it tells you what Leviticus tells us is the penalty for a woman who is caught in the act of adultery. They are to be taken to the door and stoned to death. Taken to the door and stoned. That's what's going to happen there in Jerusalem. Some of them are going to be stoned by the incoming neighbors that were once, quote, their relationship friends. So the Lord is going to judge their adultery. That's kind of interesting. Do you see that wrath of jealousy? Wrath and jealousy. The word jealousy is kind of interesting. If you remember during the 40 years in the wilderness, when a woman was caught in the act of adultery, they couldn't prove whether it was or not. So the Lord devised a plan for them. They would take the woman up to the priest. The priest would make a concoction of different stuff. She would drink it. If her belly would swell up, she was guilty. If her belly did not swell up, she was innocent. It was called the water of jealousy. Well, there's no need for that because the Lord knows exactly what's going on. You can't hide anything from the Lord. And He is jealous, And he's going to bring his wrath upon this woman, this city of Jerusalem, and he's going to have her stoned. It goes on to say this: your possessions are going to be removed. That's what he's going to do. That's one of the ways he's going to do it. He's going to be, they're going to be stripped away by the lovers. Here's the text. It says this: I will also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and bare. And you see the picture there as they're knocking down the temple. They're knocking everything down. They're going to come in through that north gate, and they're going to tear everything down. It's going to happen just like this. And they're going to begin to tear down the wonderful and beautiful temple that was built by Solomon. They will begin by scraping off all the gold and carrying it in bags away. They will then take the stones and break every one of them down. And then they'll set, once the temple is torn apart and all the buildings too, they'll set it all afire, and it will begin to burn. And what gold was left on it will begin to seep down into the cracks of the ground between all those stones. Later, 70 years later, when they come back from Persia, when Cyrus the Great allows them to come back, and they begin to mess around in all the rubble, not only are they going to begin to find that gold that is dripped down that is left over from that first temple, they're also going to find a copy of the scroll that they have not seen in 70 years. And Ezra is going to begin to read it to them, and they're going to weep when they hear the words that they've not heard in 70 years. But that's for another story, for another time. Also, here we go. It says, they are going to be killed by their lovers. The ones that they'd had a relationship are going to help kill them. They will entice a crowd against you, and they will stone you and cut you to pieces with their sword. They're going to die. Why is the Lord doing this to the nation of Israel, to the southern kingdom of Judah? Isn't there anybody there that matters to the Lord? Listen, Nebuchadnezzar's already been there twice. He's taken 50-something thousand out in the first removal. He's taken another 73,000 out in the second removal. And those people that he's taken out are good as gold. They're the ones who call upon his name. They're the ones who love him. They're already in protection over in exile. The ones that are left behind are the ones that are the duds. They're the evil ones. The ones that are worshiping idols. The ones over in Babylon and that have been stationed up in the old Assyria, they're not worshiping idols. They're worshiping God. God has removed all. Folks, this is not anything new. At the age most of us are, we know of little churches that were once great and grand churches that are now down to about 100 or less. And everybody that's left are the ones that should have left in the first place. Should not have even been entering through the doors of the church because they were not church folks. The Lord has left everybody in Jerusalem who shouldn't be there. In other words, they're going to be punished by the lovers, by the way. They will burn your houses with fire and execute judgment on you in the sight of many women. Okay, let's talk about the women here so you understand what he's saying. This is an allegory. This is a story. Okay, we've got Samaria. It used to be the capital of the northern kingdom. It was the capital. It had daughters, daughters being women. It had, right, here's a city and another city and another village and another village and another village and another village all around the capital city. These are the other women. Jerusalem has right below it Bethlehem. That's another woman that's watching what's happening in Jerusalem. You've got all these cities around. Down here in Sodom, you had Sodom was the capital of the Amorite tribe. Sodom also had Gomorrah and Abdam and Bela and Zeboram and Zoan and all these other cities. These were sister or daughter sisters, daughter cities to and they we call them females. The cities have a female, hers, to this capital city of Sodom. And he says, all the cities around, or all these women that are around you, all these cities are going to recognize what's going to happen to you when your lovers punish you. The lovers are the neighboring countries. And the only way we're going to stop your actions, the Lord's saying, the only way this is going to stop, he says this, then I will stop you from playing the harlot. What's he going to do? We've already read it. He's going to stone him. He's going to kill him with a sword. Then I will stop you from playing the harlot, and you will also no longer pay your lovers. In other words, a well-placed funeral is the only way to stop you from doing what you're going to do. Folks, There are people in this world that just keep doing the same bad stuff over and over and over again. And I could take you to a passage of Scripture, several, where good, righteous people are saying, God, why do these evil people get away with so much? And they just keep getting away with it. I'm telling you what the answer is. The answer is the Lord's letting them do it long enough to where the record book in heaven is clear. And whenever they stand before the great white throne judge, and the Lord says, why should I allow you into my heaven? And they'll say, because I've done this, this, and this, and this. The record book's going to say, no, you did this, 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 and this. You do not belong to me. Go and serve the one you served while on earth. And go to the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. There are some people in this world that are bent on their evil, and they're going to continue it to the day they die, and nothing will change them. And the only way at this point in time for Jerusalem to stop doing all its idolatry, its terrible child sacrifice, they're eating their children, they're sacrificing them, they're taking the meat and eating it, and the whole terrible thing is going to, is for him, the Lord, to send the neighbors to destroy the city. And it's going to come in 5 years. So I will calm my fury, the Lord says. It's his reaction to this. So I will calm my fury against you, and my jealousy will depart from you, and I will be pacified and angry no more. When you're destroyed, the Lord says, then I'm through with it. I won't be angry anymore. There's nothing else to be angry about, because you're done. You're done. And by the way, don't you worry about seeing any of these terrible folks from Jerusalem when you get to heaven, because they're not going to be there. They're not going where I hope you're going. They're going to head to the lake of fire. They're going to head to that place that we commonly call hell for all eternity. Why? Because of the lewdness. Because you have not remembered the days of your youth, but have enraged me by all these things. Behold, that means pay attention to this. I, in turn, will bring your conduct down on your own head, declares the Lord, so that you will not commit this lewdness on top of all of your other abominations. In other words, this is happening to you because you forgot the relationship we had. When I picked you up out of the field, when I washed you off, when I said to you in the first part of this chapter of Genesis, in last week's lesson, live, and you lived. When I put gold, silver bracelets on you, when I decorated you with embroidery cloth, when I made you look beautiful, when I fed you the best flour, the best honey, the best oils, when I made you into the best of the best, that you could be a beautiful woman, and then you began sharing all that with others. What I had given to you, you were giving away to lure other men. You were doing everything with those strangers that you should not have been doing, because you were not trusting with me, the Lord God. He says, I'm going to bring this to you because of what your evil plan, your lewdness, your plan is. And I am going to bring it to an end so that you can't do these abominations any longer. Because of your heritage, behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter, you are the daughter of your mother who loathed her husband and her children. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. It's out of the Bible, folks. Somebody didn't just make it up. This woman, Jerusalem, is just like her Hittite mother, who was rude, crude, and hated, who this Hittite mother of hers was offering children to idols, was participating in the same type of things as was happening over in Sodom and Gomorrah and the Amorites, their sister tribe. All this was going on. This she's no different than what all these other tribes, all these other cities were from her heritage. Because of your relationships, you were also the sister of your sisters, who loathed her husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. You're who you are. You see that map there? You see the Hittite? It's the same map that I have on the board. You've not fallen from the tree, we might say it that way. You have returned to be just like you were of the Canaanites, when they were lewd and rude and crude and terrible and worshiped false gods, phantom gods, the Lord has said, phantom meaning not real, not real. He says, you're one of those. You've got an older sister, he says. Your older sister. Now your older sister is Samaria, who lives north of you with her daughters. It is a true story. This history that is in this allegory is absolutely true and provable in the history books of the ancient worlds. Samaria was a place that was a high hill. It was called the Hill of Shomaron. It was, that means the watchtower or the protection hill. They would actually go up into this area. They'd get up on top of this hill. It had a flat plateau on it, and they were able to look out for miles and miles and miles around to see if any enemies were coming. And that up there, they established a little village. Now, later on, during the Northern Kingdom reign, King Omri, who's a terrible king, comes over here and he buys this hill for two talents of silver. And he decides to move his capital there. So he moves his capital from Tishra over here and builds it. It's all brand spanking new. Omri's getting a new start and a new capital. The problem is you know what the problem is? Here's the problem is, which is what the problem always is. You can't get away from this problem. Whenever you go build something new and move, that which is part of you will follow. You just all move to a new location. And that's what happened in the capital city of Tishra. Everybody packed up. It's desolate now. Everybody moved over here. Everybody's in new houses. Yay, it's all great. Yes, it's wonderful. Same sin, same everything, same going on, same personalities, same relationships. Everything's going on. Samaria is a terrible city. It's a terrible capital. And it was formed before Jebu was formed. Before the Jebusite, Jebu, who was the child of this Hittite mother and this Amorite. No, it's Hittite father, Amorite. Well, whatever it is. I get them backwards. It's in your lesson, whatever it is. Before he's born and before he forms the city of Jebus, which is going to be later turned into Jerusalem, Samaria is formed before that. And then after Jebu forms the city of Jebus, another city is formed. And here it is. And your younger sister who lives south of you is Sodom with her daughters. North, middle, south. Older, middle child, younger. Sodom. That city of Sodom was established after Jebu, the town of Jebu, was established. This town of Sodom, you know about her, and she's got daughters too. You know about the daughters. One of them is named Gomorrah. All y'all can name that. There's actually five little daughters that all belong to them, and they all were part of the Amorite tribal area. The Jordan River did not stop there for the Dead Sea. It went all the way down to the bottom. The Dead Sea was not there when Sodom was formed. Jerusalem was a gorgeous area, just absolutely gorgeous. The Lord then returns to talk about Jerusalem, the middle daughter. Yet you have not merely walked in their ways or done according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you acted more corruptly in all your conduct than they. Samaria was guilty of idolatry. Sodom was guilty of homosexuality. You, Jerusalem, are worse than the both of them. Now, you notice I got an X through Samaria. That city has been gone by the time of this passage for 130 years. You've noticed I got an X through Sodom. This city has been gone for over 1,000 years. Over 1,000 years. This city and this city are just ruins. And the Lord's deciding to use them as examples. What this city did that caused it to be destroyed by God, and what this city did to be destroyed by God, this middle sister is doing worse things now than those two cities did combined. You're the worst sister. You think I bring this stuff up? There it is, the worst sister. As I live, declares the Lord God, Sodom, your sister, and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. You're worse than the sin in the city of Sodom. Sodom got blown to smithereens by flaming meteorites, which lit the tar pits and set the sulfur pits afire that were down there by the Jordan River, even though it was beautiful and green and lush, and Lot had chosen it. Made Abraham take the hilly part. Lot's living down there in Sodom. Jerusalem, you are worse than your sister, your younger sister, Sodom, and what you're doing right now. The sin of this younger sister. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and other arrogance. They were lofty. They were, we're the best. Everybody's walking around Sodom. We're the high class. You can't come in. You're not from us. Therefore, because you're not from us, you can't tell us what to do. And you can't be a judge over us because we know what we're doing and we're doing it very well. They had abundant food. They were at careless ease. But she did not help the poor and the needy. Now, I want to tell you something. If you only got two or three people who are poor and needy and you don't help them, you got some splaining to do, Ricky. Ricky Ricardo, some splaining. Some splaining to do. But if you've got a whole bunch of needy folks, oh, we can get away with it. You know, the poor are always with us. And, you know, they're just going to have to find their way. Yeah. Sodom was so arrogant and had so much abundance, they would not help the poor cities that are around her. We got that in history. Thus, they were haughty above everybody else and committed abominations before me. That's their sexual sins. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. Do you remember what happened when those men came up to Lot's door? You see, there were two new men who were in the city, and all the men and the boys had found out they were there. And Lot had convinced those two new men who were in the city not to go stay down in the square where all the idols were and all that. And with that, I want to bring you up. All the men and the boys have come up, and they have knocked on the door. They have knocked on the door. And Lot's saying, no, you don't need to come here, whatever. And they say, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, talking about Lot. He just showed up here. He's not one of us. And already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot, and they came near to break the door. Those men wanted to go into Lot's house and have a homosexual relationship with those two new guys that were in town. What they did not know was they were angels, and they did not have sexual ability because angels do not have sexual parts. You cannot have a sexual relationship with a creature of God that does not have the ability to have a sexual relationship. And you remember what happened. Foom, foom, blinded them. You don't want to mess with one of God's messengers, folks. If you have any inkling and the Holy Spirit's telling you you're on the wrong path when something's going on, stop. Stop. And don't be part of it. Lot had chosen that place. He'd actually chosen it because he thought it was a great place to live. It was green. It was wonderful. Well, in fact, he even said this. Here's what he said. Over in when he was selecting the place, he says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. I mean, he's looking down. He's in Hebron right here, and he's looking down on the Jordan Valley. There is no Dead Sea there. There is no Dead Sea. He says that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you would go to Zoar. It was beautiful. Some of you have floated in that salty place now. Well, at one time, it was the beautiful Jordan Valley that went on down all the way down to the Red Sea. But no longer, not after God got through with it, because of their sin of homosexuality. The sin of the older sister, that's Samaria. Furthermore, Samaria did not commit half of your sins. You didn't do half of your sins. For you have multiplied your abominations more than they. They were idolaters. They were worshiping all these false gods. Well, you're worse Jerusalem, you're worse. Here's the sins of this middle sister, Jerusalem. Thus you have made your sisters appear righteous by all your abominations which you have committed. Righteous. Okay, let's look at the idolatry of Samaria. Compared to Samaria, Samaria looks righteous. Let's look at the sin of Sodom. Compared to Sodom, Sodom looks righteous. Are there any degrees to sin? Any degrees? No, sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. It is. I want you to turn, it's interesting, in America, turn on page 115 of your notes. Let me go to a different area. Are there degrees of sin? Are some sins worse than other sins? This is in the same verse, chapter 16, verse 51b. No, all sin is sin. However, with that said, humans, unlike the Lord, tend to perceive that some sins can be tolerated and others should be obliterated. The Lord condemns sorcery as evil, and most humans in the 21st century agree. However, most do not understand that sorcery in the Bible was explained as the preparation of drugs for poisons, spells, and enchantments, all for evil purposes, all to alter the mind from reality. Sin. Americans in general agree. On the other hand, the use of some concoctions that alter the mind are off limits on this topic. Not a sin, in other words. For example, to some, the mind-altering use of marijuana is not a sin. Oh, I'm treading on terrible ground here, aren't I? Here we go. Not a sin. Now, its side effects include this: memory loss, severe anxiety, paranoia, seeing, hearing, smelling things that are not there, imagination overriding reality, psychosis, panic, hallucinations, loss of personal identity, slow reaction time, increased heart rate leading to the risk of heart attacks, coordination problems, sexual problems, drop in intelligence, poor school and work performance, inability to complete complex tasks, low life satisfaction, relationship problems, antisocial behaviors, and increased dependence on welfare. No problem with any of that, right? Many think marijuana should be totally free and available for common everyday use by all. Smoke it, bake it, eat it, distribute it at will. Nothing wrong with that, right? It was used by sorcerers of the past to manipulate humanity. We might well say it is being used by society today to manipulate humanity. Here's the quandary. If sorcery of the past was evil, why would we use the same sorcery of yesterday for recreational purposes today? One is considered a sin, and the other, used in the same way, is not. What is the difference? Both are sins. In fact, they are the same sin, sorcery. Samaria had a religious problem. Sodom had a moral problem. Jerusalem had both problems. That was free. You did not ask for that. But in case you need the answer, there are the medical side effects of using marijuana. It causes holes to be put in your brain. It causes your brain to stop working. Going on, it causes neuropathy in your feet to where you cannot feel your feet. There are other side effects too. The list was too long to include. Too long. The disgrace. Also bear your disgrace in that you have made judgment favorable for your sisters. Because of your sin in which you acted more abominably than they are more in the right than you. Yes, be also ashamed and bear your disgrace in that you made your sisters appear righteous. Jerusalem is worse than both of them combined, and to the human world, Sodom and Samaria should be brought back into being because they were not as sinful as Jerusalem. In the human world, not in God's world. Here's the detention. Nevertheless, I will restore their captivity. The captivity of Sodom and her daughters. The captivity of Samaria and her daughters. And along with them, your own captivity. In other words, Samaria is gone. It's been gone. It's in captivity. It's not coming after out of captivity. Sodom is gone. It is out of here. It's in captivity. It's not going out of captivity. It's there. It's where it's going to stay. Jerusalem, you're alive. You are alive right now. And you're going to live again. Although you're going to live in the captivity of my will, you're going to live again. Now we're going to get that in just a moment again. In order that you may bear your humiliation and feel ashamed for all that you have done when you became a consolation to them. In other words, all the nations around said, why did Sodom and Samaria get destroyed if Jerusalem is going to act like this? Your sister Sodom and her daughters and Samaria with her daughters will return to their former state. I may have acted like I've brought them to life, but they're going to return to their former state. And their former state is this. They're gone. They're going nowhere. And you, with your daughters, will also return to your former state. You were the capital of the nation of Israel, and you will return to that. The despise. As the name of your sister Sodom was not heard from your lips in your day of pride, before your wickedness was uncovered, so now you have become the reproach of the daughters of Edom. That's the people just below. You can see in that map the kingdom of Edom down below. And those who are around her of the daughters of the Philistines. You see the Philistines off towards the west in that picture. Those surrounding you who despise you. The Edomites, the Philistines, along with those up north and those to the east, they all know how corrupt the southern kingdom is. It is a corrupt kingdom, and it has a corrupt capital, and they despise it for its corruption. Verse 58. You have borne. Remember that word borne means to carry, to transport, to bear the weight of. You have borne the penalty of your lewdness, that means your evil plan, and your abomination, that means your evil deeds, the Lord declares. For thus says the Lord God, I will also do with you as you have done, you who have despised the oath by breaking the covenant. What covenant? Remember when the Lord pulled that city out of the Canaanite hands and took David in and made a covenant with it in the first part of this chapter? And he says, I'm going to make you into the great city. I've chosen you to be my city. Just like he had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt and got them at Mount Sinai and made them his nation. And he made a covenant with them. He made a covenant with David there in the city of Jerusalem. He says, I have not forgotten my covenant, but you have forgotten the covenant. You have broken the covenant. You are the unfaithful wife. I am not going to be the unfaithful husband. You're the one who despised the oath. You're the one who broke the oath. You're the one who broke the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant. See, he's not going to break his covenant. I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. That's when he married her. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you received your sister, both your older and your younger, and I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. In other words, not because of anything you have done. I'm going to restore Jerusalem, and I'm going to restore the little daughters that you have, Bethlehem, Hebron, and all the little cities around, not because of you, but because of me, the Lord says. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation when I have forgiven you of all that you have done, the Lord God declares. It does not matter what you've done. Yes, I am going to destroy this city. But when destroying this city, I'm not destroying all the nation of Israel. Why? Because he is taken out of that nation and safely and secure over in Babylon and Assyria and around. He has the righteous ones tucked away to 70 years later come back in and establish the nation of Israel again on its promised land. Not because of what the terrible remnant of evil folks in Jerusalem were doing in its leadership under Zedekiah. That's going to be destroyed, but the Lord's going to bring in a new, a wonderful new. And he's not going to forget his everlasting covenant that he's made. And so, that's his declaration. And his declaration is, the nation of Israel is going to live. And it is going to survive. And it is going to be the premier nation of the world. And the Lord is going to return one day to reign from that nation as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your time to study your scripture. In your name, amen and amen.